Next up, our regular Vatican watcher Joan Lewis is here once again with a look back at highlights of the Pope's activities over the past week.
So, Joan, we've got a very busy week again, looking back at the Pope's activities over the past 7 days, beginning the past weekend when he had the ordination ceremony for a number of new bishops, didn't he?
Exactly, and five actually collaborators in the Roman Curia, and three of whom, Archbishop Gabriele Caccia, who was in Secretary of State, is the nuncio to Lebanon. He was named in July. Archbishop Franco Coppola will represent the Pope as nuncio ambassador in Burundi, and Archbishop Pietro Parolin, who was also at the top of the ladder, if you will, in Secretary of State, he'll be the nuncio to Venezuela. And then two other bishops, one of whom actually, Raffaello Martinelli, worked with the then Cardinal Ratzinger in the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. He's going to lead the nearby Diocese of Frascati. And Bishop Giorgio Corbellini, he was appointed in July as president of the Central Labor Office of the Vatican. We should do a story on the Labor Office someday.
Certainly should.
But anyway, so then that was Saturday. And Sunday we had the Angelus. The Pope, of course, was back at Casa Gandolfo for the Angelus. And another interesting piece of news that came out over the weekend was that it looks like the Pope might be going to Malta in 2010.
Of course, we're just looking ahead to the papal trip in Prague at the end of this month.
Just within days, practically, as we speak. And another possible trip, this has not been confirmed by the Vatican, but the government in Panama announced that in a couple of years, actually 4 years, in 2013, the Pope would go to, has been invited to and apparently accepted an invitation to Panama.
But as you say, the Malta trip will be coming up spring.
That'll be coming up. And the 1950th anniversary of the shipwreck of St. Paul. The Prime Minister of Malta was, of course, in Rome this summer and invited the Pope to come to Malta. He said, even for a day. It's only an hour's trip away, so you could come even for a day. And Malta, we know, is very small. It's actually three islands. But, I mean, it's got like 300, I'm not sure how many people, 350,000, something like that. But it's like 98% Catholic. And of those, it's like 97% practicing. It's just an awesome bastion of the Catholic Church, indeed. So that ought to be interesting. Of course, Pope John Paul went to Malta twice. He went in 1990 and in 2001. So
that's certainly a visit to look forward to
next year.
Meanwhile, this week we've had an interesting visitor here in the Vatican, haven't we, from the Orthodox Church in Russia.
We did. We had Archbishop Hilarion, and he is now the president of the Department for External Church Affairs of the Orthodox Patriarchate of Moscow. And he, of course, succeeded Metropolitan Kirill, who was elected to head the church, I think that was just in February or so
earlier this year.
Mm-hmm. And Archbishop Hilarion's actually going to spend 5 or 6 days in Rome. He was invited by Cardinal Walter Kasper, president of the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity. And it goes without saying, of course, he's going to meet the Holy Father and Cardinals Tarcisio Bertone, Secretary of State, Walter Kasper, whom we just mentioned, Leonardo Sandri, who's prefect of the Congregation for Oriental Churches, and then Archbishop Gianfranco Ravasi, who's president of the Pontifical Council for Culture. He arrived on Tuesday and was scheduled, I believe it's through Sunday, with a departure on Monday. But this Vatican communique said that the visit will confirm the ties of friendship between the Catholic Church and the Russian Orthodox Church on the solid basis of mutual understanding and respect, with a view to closer collaboration and to favoring the presence of the Church in the lives of the people in Europe and the world. And, of course, we know the Orthodox and Roman Catholic Church have been separated since 1054, the Great Schism, and many popes, certainly the two most recent, the current Pope Benedict and his predecessor, have worked very, very hard for Christian unity in the Church. And, I mean, there are many who say, you know, if our brethren come back and for unity, that the Orthodox, because we're so close in so many doctrinal matters, sacramental and so forth, because we're so close, that they might be the first. And I do know that Archbishop Paolo Pezzi, who is the Archbishop of the Mother of God Diocese in Moscow, and he actually gave an interview to Corriere della Sera, an Italian daily paper, and he gave a very optimistic assessment of relations, you know, with the Catholic Church. And, of course, it's interesting because whatever side might give an optimistic evaluation, the other side kind of, you know, tones things down so that expectations are not at unusually high levels.
And we'll be keeping a close eye on then, as you say, at the end of this visit, perhaps there may be more coming out on that. Moving on just briefly, Cor Unum, another of the Vatican Dicasteries councils, just concluding a retreat on Taiwan. That was an interesting one.
It was, and I do know that Cardinal Paul Cordes has had ties with Taiwan, has made a number of visits there over the years, and they held these exercises in Taiwan. And there were 450 participants from 29 nations, including five cardinals and over 60 bishops. And one of the highlights of their communique, which they issued on this, was two things. The prayers that they all had, obviously, for the victims of this typhoon that struck Taiwan, and especially in the area of Kaohsiung, which I have visited. And I spent a day, actually a Good Friday there in 2001. And there's a marvelous school, just to digress for a second, there's a marvelous school run by the Ursuline nuns. It's called the Wenzhou Language Academy. And that is in Kaohsiung. Cardinal Sean lived in Kaohsiung and so forth. But anyway, a very interesting, I don't think I said that it was held in Taipei, the retreat, and it was on the theme of Jesus' words, "You did it to me." And by the way, this was held, speaking of universities, this retreat was held at Furyen, is how it's pronounced, Furyen Catholic University. And I have also spent an afternoon at Furyen. There's three religious orders. I believe it's Jesuits and Salesians, and I hate to tell you, I've forgotten the third one, who do run this university. Very, very interesting campus, and obviously a Catholic university, but many non-Catholics attend as well.
Because, of course, Catholic Church being a small minority there.
Right.
But quite influential.
Exactly. There's something like 40 religious orders of men who live throughout the island of Taiwan and 60 of women. And they told me when I visited that they're getting ready for when mainland China does open up to evangelization, if you will, and even though there's already, of course, religious on the mainland who they do run schools, they run hospitals, their seminaries, and so forth. So
some interesting political overtones there.
Oh, and
well
I'm sure there were fascinating discussions on Taiwan.
Maybe you'll hear more about that through the Vatican grapevine over the coming weeks. Just time to mention another papal visit this past week, the Pope's visit to the Vatican Observatory on Wednesday.
Right. He went out there about 5:45, 6 o'clock Wednesday evening. And, of course, he's already at Costa Gandolfo. But the observatory has recently been moved from the top floor of the Apostolic Palace where the Pope does reside. It's been moved to another part of the whole complex of Costa Gandolfo. And it was a convent that had, I believe, fallen into disuse. And it's actually much larger. Our Jesuit friends who and I know you and I probably have the same friends out there, our Jesuit friends who run the observatory have said that this is much larger and gives them a lot more space for instruments. Well, of course, the specula, the actual telescopes, remain where they are in the Apostolic Palace, but those are not necessarily used every day. In fact, the main Vatican telescope, the VATT, it's Vatican Advanced Technology Telescope. That's in Tucson, Arizona, on Mount Graham. So that's where the bulk of that direct work with the heavens is done. But I'm sure it was a really, really interesting visit. And since this is the year, International Year of Astronomy, I believe something's on the agenda for, you know, next month perhaps. I'm not sure if it's October or November for members of the media and other invited guests to see the new headquarters. So that'll be exciting.
And you know, we'll certainly be keeping our listeners up to date with all that. For the moment, Joan, thank you very much for joining us here on the program.
See you next week.
Thanks there to our regular guest, Joan Lewis, who will be back on the English program at this same time next week.